And whereas that time, 9:04, is obviously incorrect, it's still a good time to drink tea.
Oh, yummy.
Oh. That's right, it's tea drinking time, so what time is it really? It's 19:30 UTC, the time at which we traditionally begin the Dubious Goals Committee. That's right. I am not, in fact, Hello Kitty. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this, the Dubious Goals Committee. And I like to drink tea. But that should be obvious by now. Whew. All right. Another day, another Dubious Goals Committee. How are we going to kick this off? Oh, let's just do the traditional thing and go straight to our favorite numbers lady and ask her, "Hey, numbers lady, what are the numbers?"
The numbers are 316, number 406, number 409, number 412, number 430, number 436, number 851, number 882. Thank you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, thanks, numbers lady. I mean, you're welcome, numbers lady. And oh yeah. Just wanted to give you some oh yeah happiness. Oh, and here's my cat walking around. Hi, look at this fluffy bingots. Hi, come up to the microphone. Say hi. Say hi. Say meow. Say yangy babies. Say some kind of kitty thing. All right, my cat's not talking. My cat's saying, hurry up and get the kitty business pit ready. Because it turns out we're missing a game. I thought that I didn't have a football game until later. And that's why we got to check the schedule right now. Okay, what time is it now? And yeah, okay, there's a game on right now. We're missing it. And that's okay. It's the Bournemouth game. But coming up here in an hour and 15 minutes or 14 minutes, we got the game I need to see, which is, Manchester United versus who? Oh, yeah, Aston Villa. Okay, so that's a good thing that we got coming up here. So what do you want to do? Peppa, do you want to watch this game that's on right now? Okay, you can watch it. You have to sit in the kitty pit, though. Be a good kitty in the kitty football pit. You going to watch some kitty football? Oh, my God. Speaking of watching stuff on TV, last night I was watching some videos on YouTube, and I was watching my favorite Russian guy who owns a puma and just lets the puma live in its house, live in the guy's house like it's... like it's a domestic cat. My kind of guy. I would like to have a puma. Well, do you want to have a puma brother or sister? It'd be your big brother. That would be nice for kitties, huh? And I was sitting here watching that show, or that video, the channel. I think it's called I Am Puma. And it was really funny because here's the wife. She's waiting for the husband to come home with the cat. And the cat, the puma, whose name, by the way, is Messi, as in Leo Messi, the greatest football star of all time. You can see why I love this channel. And the cat's pacing back and forth and going, round, 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 because he's waiting for, you know, dad to get home. And so then the cat is looking out the window, sees the car pull up and starts getting excited, round, round, round. And so this puma is walking around on screen making these round, round, round puma noises. And that was right when Pippa walked in. And she was like halfway across the living room when she heard one of these rounds. She froze and looked up.
Yes, you saw that big kitty on TV last night. That was so fun, huh?
Yeah, it was fun for a baby. You're a good baby. Okay, so enough about Pippa news.
What, you want me to talk about you some more? Okay. You're so fluffy. You're so cute. You have a kitty face. You wear kitty fluffy pajamas because you're so fluffy. They elected you mayor of Fluffy Town.
That's right. My cat is the mayor of Fluffy Town. However, we do have more important things to talk about, and I gotta tell you about what I did yesterday. What I did yesterday and sort of last night. Yesterday evening. Last evening, so to speak. However, let me just say this first. Where am I going with this? Hai, so desu ka. Regular listeners to the Dubious Goals Committee, or at least anyone who listened to yesterday's episode of Dubious Goals Committee, were aware that I had an idea that I was thinking about executing, but, you know, only in my, you know, TV show that I'm writing. You know, I was thinking about writing a movie, a fictional movie, but instead I thought I'd make it a TV series of entirely fictional things. But I would be the main character. Yeah, remember us discussing this yesterday? Oh, of course you did. Well, I did some more thinking about this absolutely pretend story that really isn't happening because it's completely fiction. And so I'm going to continue telling you this story of, quote, what I did yesterday, end quote. But this is really just absolutely fictional. This is a fictional story that didn't really happen. Nothing of this is really happening. It's completely fictional and pretend Mr. Rogers style. So now I will regale you with this entirely fictional story that I will tell in the first person. But remember, none of this really happened, because nothing shady ever goes down here. So on with the story. Right, so yesterday I was thinking, oh, I'm getting bored. I kind of want to go outside, but it's really hot outside. But I've been stuck indoors for a couple of days, and I've got a little bit of cabin fever. I need some excuse to go outside, when I remembered that I needed to get some bleach. And I thought, oh, well, if I'm going to the bleach store, then I should get some Kleenexes too, because I'm out of Kleenexes, and I thought of some other things I needed to get, but it was in the other direction. So I thought, okay, if I go to that store to get that stuff, I could just, you know, go to that art supply store and look at stuff. And I thought to myself, well, if I buy art supplies, then I can't buy any lunch, because I was thinking about buying some tacos. And I thought, well, it kind of depends on how much stuff costs. But I ended up spending a little bit too much money. Well, not too much, but basically, I spent my taco money, because when I went to buy the bleach and the Kleenexes, I had a gift certificate, but it did not cover the whole thing. So I had to spend about $2.50 on my bleach and Kleenexes, and then I went to the art store, and I had about $5 left over, and I thought, well, this will probably buy something that I'm looking for. And so I drove over there. I went over to the art supply store, and I walked immediately over to where the things that were that I needed. And that was just luck, or that it was my artistic instinct. Yeah, that's what it was. My artistic instinct directed me directly to the locked cabinet full of empty, meaning without any ink in them, felt tip pens. And they had a bunch. They had different brands that I've never heard of. They had the brand that I have heard of. And they had sizes and craziness and all this stuff. And they even had drip pens. It's like, come on, don't make it so obvious that these are for vandals. At least make them look like art supplies somehow. But no, they got a whole bunch of stuff. And so I start looking at it. And I'm thinking, some of these brands that I've never heard of, or is this expensive? Is this cheap? Because these are all around $5 for the size that I want. And then I realized, oh no, the really expensive good Japanese ones are right over there. So, you know, longtime listeners to the Dubious Goals Committee are aware that I love a certain brand of Japanese magic marker. These are the magic markers that mangaka like to use, and I like to use them for other stuff, but they are great. However, they're expensive at like $7 a piece. That's right. A $7 magic marker is pretty crazy. But anyway, I went over to look at those. And they had a whole bunch of empty models. And I thought, wow, these are really great. These are just like the pens I have at home. I really like this particular kind of tip. But this empty magic marker is like $7, and I really don't want to spend $7 because I kind of don't really have $77, but I sort of do, but, you know, And then I noticed something else. This very expensive, very prestigious magic marker company from Japan, they make three different kind of empty ones, and one of them is only $4. And so I'm looking at this $4 one, which is a different style than the other really good, expensive, high-quality ones. And it has a different kind of tip. It works different. It's not the kind of tip I want, and blah, blah, blah. So I go over, and I start looking at the other weird brands. And there's basically two other brands. And one has a 2-millimeter tip and a 4-millimeter tip, and then bigger, 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 and more expensive. And the other... the other brand had a 2-millimeter tip and then jumped to like a 10-millimeter tip and blah, blah, blah. And all I wanted was like a 2 or 3-millimeter tip. So basically, I've got these two to choose from. And they're approximately the same price, within just a few cents of each other for the 2-millimeter. And I thought, well, what do I do? Do I want a 4? No, going with the 2, I have to make a choice. So now I have to make a choice between two empty magic markers. And there's really not much of a difference, and I can't see any reason why I should pick one over the other, except for the brand name. And that's what I did. Yeah, I actually made a decision. I made a choice based on brand name, and you're going to find out why. But first, let me just apologize for bringing up brand names on my show. I realize that I'm always talking about how I don't like to mention brand names because they're not paying me to say the name of their company. Well, this is another one of those cases. I am not getting paid, but I have to say the name of this brand name just because it was the brand name itself that influenced me to purchase it over the other brand. So what brand is this? Well, it is apparently Molotow, or Molotow, M-O-L-O-T-O-W. Empty pump marker, 2-millimeter round tip, 111EM is the model number, apparently. And then you scroll down here, and it says www.molotow.de. Made in Germany. Wait, this is German. That's not Molotow, because W's are pronounced like V's in German, as in Richard Wagner. You know, Richard Wagner. Yeah, that's Richard Wagner. V. W's sound like V in German. That doesn't make this a Molotow magic marker. That's right. It makes it a Molotov. Of course I'm going to buy the Molotov brand magic marker. And I think it's hilarious that they're Molotovs. Like, here, take this empty container and fill it with the ink of your choice. It's like, what? And of course, there's this lovely felt tip on it, which if you held it flame to it, yeah, it would alight and... Right, so I had to, obviously, I had to buy the product called Molotov. So to get on with the story, this entirely fictional story, I eventually get home and I, eat lunch and I do some other stuff I had to do. And then in the early evening, I got around to actually doing the thing with this marker that we needed to do. And I couldn't wait. I wanted to do it all on Dubious Goals Committee, even though it was entirely fictional. I wanted to do this on a fictional version of Dubious Fictional Goals Fictional Committee of Fiction. And I thought that would be a good idea, but no, I was too excited. I just had to get to work. And so what did I do? I started making a solution of copper sulfate. I put some distilled water in the microwave, got that boiling, or actually hotter than boiling, because, you know, it's under pressure. So I superheated some water, and I got out my copper sulfate, and I put a little bit in a little measuring, teeny tiny measuring cup. And then I took the water out of the microwave and I thought, oh wow, this stuff is really fine. I bet this dissolves fast. Put a little bit of water in. Yep. So I put about 8 milliliters of hot water in this little cup, and the copper sulfate I had in it just dissolved instantly. So I thought, okay, what kind of concentration am I going to need here to make this whole trick work? And I thought, I have no idea. So I just started throwing tons of the stuff in. I mean, I shouted out loud, if you're not part of the solution, there's not enough of you in here. I actually screamed that at the copper sulfate. So I started dumping more and more copper sulfate into the water, and it was dissolving pretty instantly. And I thought, okay, how concentrated do I want to make this? And then, you know, being me, I'm going, yeah, super concentrated. Yeah, I'll make a super concentrated solution because I'm awesome and I'm so science. And I thought, wait. No, that might not be such a good idea. Because if I make a super concentrated solution, then it will just want to crystallize out faster or easier. You know, it'll be unstable, so to speak. And so I thought, okay, I won't do a super saturated solution. I'll just, you know, saturate this up to about a normal level. So I keep dumping in copper sulfate, stirring it. And at one point in time, I put in a little bit and it didn't all just dissolve and disappear instantly. And I thought, okay, I stirred it a little bit more. A few little tiny crystals remained. And I thought, all right, I think we're close enough to the point that we need to load this stuff up. So I took apart the pen, the Molotov empty pump marker, model number 111EM, and I took it apart so I could fill it, and I took the water syringe, and I sucked up about 8 milliliters. How much does this hold? I can't pick it up yet. And I put the copper sulfate solution into the pen, and then I put the pen body into a bath of cold water just to cool it down, because I didn't want to actually warp the pen, because it's, you know, all just plastic. So about a half an hour after that, I thought it's time to test this bad boy. I put the pen back together. It looks so cool. It looks so cool because, you know, the copper sulfate solution is this beautiful blue color. And I thought, all right, let's test this bad boy out. What do I have that's in my house that's steel? I need to test this on steel. And it has to be bare steel, because I got some stuff that's steel, but it's painted, you know, like my refrigerators, blah, 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 blah. So I'm walking around the house going, what do I own that's steel? I don't even know what's steel. How do I identify steel? I don't know what steel is. Oh, wait, it's got iron in it, so it must be magnetic and... So I was wandering around down here in this room, and I thought, oh, duh, guitar strings. Guitar strings are steel. So I tested my pen out on the highest string of my, you know, fruitcake tin. And I tested it on the string between the bridge and the post of the tuner. Is that a capstan? Is that technically a capstan? So I took the cap off the pen, and I shook it up, and I pumped it a couple of times, because it is a pump marker. And then I dragged the tip along the end of that string, that steel string, and it worked. It worked the first time! I was so happy, I smiled to myself, and I said, oh my God, Tobe, you must be some kind of vandalism genius. And that's a possibility, because I am a breakfast genius. I mean, you're talking to the guy who invented pepperoni and waffles, for God's sake. And I thought, no, I'm not a vandalism genius. I'm just an applied science kind of guy. Apply your science. And so what am I holding right here? I'm shaking it. Oh, no, I mean, that's just a sound effect, because this is just a radio drama and all this is fiction. A weird thing happened. Later yesterday night, I went up to the kitchen to make some more tea, and I noticed that the leftover solution that I had, that I left in the cup on the counter, was crystallizing out. There were already huge crystals. Well, huge meaning, you know, there were no crystals in it, and then 3 hours later, there were crystals that were 4 millimeters wide. It's like, wow, those are big. Those grew fast. Let those go overnight. Let them grow some more. But then I got thinking, uh-oh, that means now that there might be crystals growing in my pen. And so I'm trying to look in the pen right now to see if any crystals grew overnight. It's hard to tell because there's ridges inside the pen. And so I can't tell if I'm seeing friction due to, you know, these ridges or what are these bumps. And if you listen to the ball in the pen, is that hitting crystals? Is that crystallized in there? Worst of all, could it have crystallized in the tip? And so that's what we're doing now. We have to test this to see if any crystallization has occurred in the pen itself. So I'm grabbing my cigar box guitar here because we're going to test it on the CBG. Wait, I need to have this end over here. Oh, now it's stuck in my shirt. This highest string is steel, and I need to change these strings because they are definitely worn out, and this high string is actually broken. One of the windings is broken, and so it's just sitting there buzzing. And so now we test. Open the pen. Okay, I got the pen, and we need to pump it. I need to pump it up against something. Pump, pump, pump it up. And now we are going to test it on the string. I am drawing on the string. I'm just drawing the felt tip. Yes! I'm just drawing the felt tip right up the string. Yeah. And that nice, bright, and shiny steel string has become a different color. Oh my God. Yay for science. Okay. Even if it is crystallizing up, it didn't seem to be crystallizing in the felt tip or anything like that. All right. So that's good. And to be honest, last night I was thinking that we might be okay here just because this pen is sealed rather well. So I didn't think it would have any excuse to really crystallize out. It's not like any of the water's going to evaporate or anything. So, yay! And that's the end of a totally fictional story about advancements in vandalism. You're welcome. That was a pretty good story, and I know what you're thinking. Who thinks up these kinds of strange-ass stories? Some kind of person who must be a little bit off his coconut. At least somebody who may be a little bit bananas. And that might be true. I might be a little bit bananas. I might be. But I am thinking of making more pens. I mean, of course, in the story, I'm thinking about having the characters invent more pens that work on different metals, not just steel. So like bronze. So you need some kind of pen that, you know, works on bronze. But what would you put in it? You know, I was reading something that the Chinese figured out a way to do this back a couple thousand years ago. I wonder how they did that. Hey, Mr. Lee, how did they do that?
Ancient Chinese secret.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret.
You got girlfriend, Vietnam?
Oh, yes, I'm finding that to be true myself. Everywhere I look, the real secret is you got girlfriend Vietnam. And now I think it's time to go to some music, and we've got to do some Justin Johnson today because he's going to be playing some music on a cigar box guitar, except it's not a cigar box, it's a jerry can. It's an Australian jerry can. I actually saw a video about this when he unboxed this, and I watched a video about the guy who made it. The guy in Australia was inspired to make guitars after watching some Justin Johnson videos, and so he made these absolutely cool guitars out of these jerry cans, put cool stuff on it, made it look cool. The position markers on the fretboard are like bullet shells, the bottom of shells cut off. Oh, it's so cool. So what we need to do is listen
to Justin Johnson playing this Australian Jerry Can guitar. And what's he going to play? He's going to play Baby Please Don't Go, one of my favorite songs. Look, how much? Oh, there's two pickups in it. There's piezo and electromagnetic. Guitar is so cool. It was six strings, but I gotta tell you, it's over. You've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. Tune in every day at 1930 UTC, but right now I gotta go out and make some non-commissioned public art with my new pen. Oh wait, no, it's all fiction. Okay, bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.